1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 35 says, "For some men will say, 'How are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come?'" You'll notice there Paul answers in verse 36. My translation says, "Thou fool," but "thou's" in italics. Paul just says, "Fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except to die. That which thou sowest not the body that shall be, but bare grain, that it may chance be of wheat or some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, to every seed his own body. And all flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars. For every one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a life, a living soul, and the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit that was not first which was spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterwards that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So, I love this word, when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Why? Because we believe in resurrection. Justified, sanctified, glorified. We believe we're justified. Christ died on the cross for us. He's working in our lives today, but we stand sanctified before Him judicially and glorified. That's resurrection. We don't just believe in life after death. We don't believe in some ethereal realm, some immaterial realm. As Christians, what is at the center of what we believe is resurrection. Jesus is risen from the dead. His body that was in the tomb is raised from the dead. The grave clothes were left behind. Jesus said in John chapter 2, verses 19 and 21, "Destroy this temple, and I'll raise it up again in 3 days." And John says this, he spake of his body that he would rise again from the dead. So his physical frame that was killed, that laid in the tomb for 3 days, that physical frame was raised again. And we believe, and he said to us, "Because I live, you shall also live." And that is the hope that you and I have today in the center of everything we believe. Sigmund Freud said this in regards to our hopelessness. He said, "And finally, there is the painful riddle of death, for which no remedy at all has yet been found, nor probably ever will be." He said, "And finally, there is the painful riddle of death, for which no remedy at all has yet been found, nor probably ever will be. Sounds like a depressed counselor to me. Jesus said, because I live, you shall live also. No resurrection equals no gospel, no good news, no hope. But we believe that Christ is risen, and therefore we also will rise. If the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, then it says that that Spirit will also quicken your dead frames. One day we'll stand together, raised, incorruptible. Not reconstruction, resurrection. I'm glad it's not reconstruction. Imagine if at the resurrection I just got put back together again the way I am and I needed glasses forever. I had this back pain forever. No, not reconstruction, resurrection. Vastly different. And we're looking forward to that. It is this physical frame realizing its ultimate potential. It is becomes supernatural instead of natural. And it's at the center of what we believe. Paul begins by saying, we believe that Christ died according to the Scripture. This is the gospel we preach to you. And we believe that he rose from the dead according to the Scripture, he says. And he's been seen alive of the apostles, of Peter, and of the other apostles, of 500 at one time, most of whom are still alive. He said he was seen of James, and last of all, he was seen of me. And Paul says, you know, there's over 500 witnesses that are still alive that saw him. It says in Acts chapter 1 verse 3 that Christ demonstrated his resurrection with many infallible proofs. Chapter 1 verse 3. Infallible proofs. And it was at the center of what they believed all through the book of Acts when they preached Christ. They preached the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's at the center of what you and I believe. And I wonder how it drives us. You know, it's interesting. I have this Newsweek article. In fact, the date on the magazine is tomorrow, 3/28. So I guess it came to my house prophetically. I don't know, but it was about Christ. If you got Newsweek, you saw this big article on the cover. And it says, our Newsweek poll shows 78% of Americans believe Jesus rose from the dead. 78%. 75% say that he was sent to earth to absolve mankind of its sins. So 78% believe he's risen, only 75% believe he died for sins. I don't know what that other 3% believes. I don't know why he rose. 81% say they are Christians. How does that work? 81% are Christians, but only 75% believe he's risen, and 78% believe that he's risen, 75% believe he died for sins, but 81% are Christians. What do they believe? They are part of what is now the world's largest faith, with over 2 billion believers on earth. Roughly 33% of the earth's population claims to be Christian. Certainly that's not reflected in what we see. 80% of Americans say they believe in the resurrection, 78% not reflected in our culture, not in our behavior, not what we see around us. And yet, it's central to what we believe. But the Scripture says we have to be born again of that Spirit that will produce resurrection in us. Isn't it interesting that Jesus, the central picture that he gives to us of the new birth, is with Nicodemus? Not with a prostitute, not with a murderer, with Nicodemus. We're told that in the day of Christ, there were 40,000 rabbis in Israel. Those were the upper crust, as it were, of the culture. They were spiritual leaders. That there were 22,000 Levites. That was even a step up above the rabbis. You'd have Levi jeans to be part of that group. And then there were the priests at the center of the Levites, which were more exclusive. But then in the center of everything was the Sanhedrin, 70 individuals that were at the center of the world's proper monotheistic faith. And at the center of the 70 was Nicodemus. Jesus would say to him, are you the teacher in Israel, and you have to ask me these questions? And it was to the individual who was at the center of the rabbis, at the center of the Levites, at the center of the priests, at the center of the Sanhedrin. He was at the center of everything. Nicodemus, the most religious man, as it were, in the world. And Jesus said to him, you have to be born again or you'll never see the kingdom. And Jesus deliberately gave us that record because then it includes everybody else. 78% of Americans believe in resurrection? I don't think so. They're not born again. We see, don't see the evidence of that. And it says, unless the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us, we have no hope of resurrection unto eternal life. Oh, everyone will be resurrected. Doesn't matter. I don't believe in Jesus. I don't believe what you're saying. My relatives drugged me here today, and the only reason I came is I get free ham once a year. Listen. It doesn't matter whether you believe, you're going to be raised. You're going to be raised. Well, how are the dead raised? Paul said people ask this question, all the critics. Twofold, how are the dead raised and by what body do they come? How does this take place? Now, this, he begins his answer on the wrong foot, I think. This is Paul. Fool. That which you sow is not what you reap. He says, around us every day we live in the miracle of resurrection. We're surrounded by it. The seed, whether it's barley or wheat or whatever, it comes out after its kind. Each seed after its kind. He says we are surrounded with resurrection every day and we take it for granted. We don't notice it. That encoded in the DNA, this is what Paul's saying. In the seed is all of the information necessary for resurrection. They have taken grain from in the pyramids, thousands of years old. You could hit that piece of wheat with a hammer and it would shatter like glass. That's how dried out it is. But they put it in the soil. When it gets in the darkness and the moisture of the soil, it comes to life. Encoded within the DNA in the cells of that grain is the information necessary to begin to produce life, to send down a root and to send up a shaft. And it says that which is born out of it is the same, but it's different. It's the same, but it's different. It's like a tulip bulb. If you look at that ugly ball of dirt, you wouldn't put those in the middle of your table, would you? But you put it in the ground and that beautiful flower comes out. Encoded in there is all of the information. It's the same, but it's different. The same exact genes, chromosomes, the same DNA. A caterpillar. Walking around. Little, dirty, hot, tired feet. And now they have to worry about skateboarders. Never dreaming. In the DNA, the potential is there, and at some point they curl up under a leaf, they entomb themselves, and they emerge. Wings, beautiful, color, enjoying another dimension, set free. We're surrounded with it. And it's in us also. We have that potential. If you have a computer on your desk, I don't. I'm living in denial. But if you have that computer on your desk, you take a diskette out of there, weighs 0.07 ounces, that diskette. You load it with thousands of dollars of programs, millions of bits of information, put it back on the scale and weigh it again, it weighs 0.07 ounces. Because software is immaterial. It's not subject to mass, not subject to time. Hardware is subject to time. This body is hardware. You live inside of it. You are software. You're the spirit. That spirit living inside this spacesuit is not subject to time. It's eternal. You will spend eternity either in the presence of Christ, forgiving, enjoying His presence forever, or you will spend eternity separated from Christ forever in darkness. Because you are massless. You are the software. And everything that's necessary for resurrection is in you. Look at Jurassic Park. They find some DNA in a mosquito somewhere in amber. I'm glad that mosquito was in amber, because if that mosquito could get through dinosaur skin, I wouldn't want him around me. But that mosquito, and from that dead, dried-up DNA, the whole thing is, with cloning today, all this, that we can produce life. We can produce an entire dinosaur out of that DNA. And they've collected it in China. They collected it in Utah a few years ago in a mine. The information is there to produce the frame. The Lord can do that. 75 trillion cells in your body. And in every nucleus, in the center of every cell, 46 chromosomes, 23 pairs, with all of the information. In fact, if they took all of the DNA from your body, from every cell, it would fit in a space as big as an ice cube. But if they strung it end to end, it would go from the earth to the sun and back again 300 times. Thus, the strands of information inside of your system. Except in your red blood cells. They don't have the information. That's okay, because blood's not necessary for the resurrection. It says our bodies will be fashioned like unto his glorious body. And he said, touch me and see, doth a spirit have flesh and bone? His blood was drained out on the cross. Isn't that interesting? You think I'm crazy. That's okay. So is my wife. Get out a baby picture and look at it. Cute little person there, huh? It's the last time somebody told you you were cute, isn't it? And look at that baby picture. Are you the same person? Do you know that every 7 years, all the subatomic particles and every cell in your body is changed? You are not. There's none of your physical frame that is in that baby picture. Oh, but you're the same, though. Because all that was reproduced and replacing was from the same information. You are experiencing somewhat of resurrection every 7 years in your physical frame. Paul says there is one glory of animals, one glory of the plant kingdom, that they all differ. He knows. In the DNA, in the digital code, a fish can never become a reptile, and a reptile can never become a man. That's poppycock. Impossible. And he says, each one after its kind. There are also celestial bodies, heavenly bodies, and there are earthly bodies, terrestrial. The glory of one is different from the other. There's the glory of the sun, the moon, the stars. And he says, in fact, one star differs from another. Isn't it interesting? They found out this century, because of radar telescopes, that every single star in the heaven has its own signature. You look up and you see a mass of points of light, and it's beautiful. But as they zero in on them, every single one has a different spectra. And every single one has a different ratio of brightness to heat for that particular star. He says here, 2,000 years ago, the glory of one differs from another. Each one is different, the stars. It is sown, the physical body, in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. Sown in weakness, raised in power. I could go around this room and name so many of you that I have had the privilege and the sad experience of having to do a funeral for your family, your parents, your children. I don't like funerals. Great opportunity to share Christ. I don't believe God gave us the wiring for it, the file. If Adam hadn't sinned, he'd have never died. We should never have had to deal with it. And as soon as we get to heaven, it tells us the first thing it says in Revelation 21, there is no death there, no sorrow, no curse, no suffering, no tears. So now we face it. How do we deal with that? How do we deal with death? My father died this year. My wife had been with her father several years before that. She said, honey, I'm going to stay with you. This is what it's going to be like. And I'm so thankful she stayed with me. July 9th. 5:15 a.m., I watched him take his last breath. I remember Kathy saying, he's gone. And in 30 seconds, he turned white. His mouth fell open, muscles fell away. And I looked and I thought, that is a shell. It's a vacancy. He's gone. He's gone. But I'll tell you this. It was troubling enough. There was a sense of finality to it. If I was not a believer, I'd have gone straight to a bar. I'd have been pickled in an hour. It was that troubling. And I thought, how does an unbeliever face this? Because we believe that Jesus died and that he rose again and that he's the first fruits of those who slept. And as I looked at my father, I thought he was sown in dishonor, sown in weakness, but he's going to be raised in power. He's going to be raised in power. I'm going to have the privilege. You know, right now in heaven, Calvary Chapel, Philadelphia, we have a bigger congregation in heaven than most churches have on earth. And we're going to get to stand together there and look into the face of the one who paid the price and rose again so that we can gather. That's when life will begin, when we are there. That's when we will realize what these frames are for. He says here, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam, who is Jesus, was made a life-giving spirit. That from Adam in the Garden of Eden, genetics and passed along through thousands. Here we have our physical frames. He's a life-giving soul, a life-giving entity, but Christ is a quickening spirit. That our physical frame is miraculous. There's enough information in it for it to be raised. It doesn't matter, you know, well, what happened to the missionary that the cannibals ate? And when the cannibals died, somebody ate them. Who gets the cells? Let me go back to Paul. Thou fool. Listen, that's crazy. What happened to all the ones that are eaten of lions in the arena? All the Christians that were burned at the stake? All of them that were buried at sea? Atoms are fungible. They're interchangeable. If you have the information, the code, you can rebuild the body out of any atoms. It doesn't matter. Out of anything. It doesn't matter. Carbon, you know, the same 17 elements in the ball field out there, the same 7 in the dirt, or the same 17 elements we're made of. You can rebuild a human with any atoms. They're interchangeable, as long as you have the code. You've been changing every 7 years anyhow. Well, how is it raised? Well, what is it like? Well, we know this. Remember, Jesus rose from the dead, and it was his body that came out of the tomb. And it says it was sown a natural body, raised a spiritual body, not that it was ethereal, not that it wasn't real, but it was supernatural. Jesus said, touch me. He said to Thomas, thrust your hand into, touch the nail holes in my hand, thrust your hand into my side, Thomas. He said to Mary Magdalene, let go of me. She tackled him. I haven't yet ascended to my Father. In Luke's gospel, he appears in the midst of them and they're afraid. And he said, they thought he was a ghost. He said, no. Handle me. Touch me. Doth a spirit have flesh and bone as you see that I have? And they handled him. He ate with them. So we know from Philippians chapter 3 verses 20 and 21 that that our bodies will be fashioned, morphe, metamorphosis, like the caterpillar and the butterfly. Our bodies will be fashioned like unto his glorious body. What it means is we will be tangible. We will be physical. It will be our bodies raised, but not our bodies in a sense. He still had the nail marks. The tomb was empty. It was him. They could feel him and handle him. When I see my dad again, I'm going to be able to embrace him and hug him. He's going to be real. He's going to be real because we believe in resurrection. But Jesus passed through the walls. I like this system. He came in when the doors were locked. He could talk. He could hear. He ate fish. Imagine that. You'll be able to eat. No South Beach diet. None of this crazy stuff. Evidently, you won't have to, but you can if you want to. What body will it be? It'll be like that body. How will it be raised? What body will it? It'll come like that. We will be like that. Traveling, no doubt, not at the speed of light, but at the speed of thought, which is much faster. No longer having a blood drive system, but a spirit drive system. Our bodies will be fashioned like unto his glorious body. All of his blood was drained out. He said, doth the spirit have flesh and bone? He didn't say flesh and blood. It says here, it's impossible for flesh and blood to inherit the kingdom. He was flesh and bone. It gives me some interesting questions. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden were created in his image and likeness. They were clothed with something. It tells us in Revelation chapter 19, when we get to heaven, we'll be clothed with bright and fine and white linen. We'll all have these white robes. And then it says, the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. It will be something we are clothed with from within. We will be clothed with a robe of light of righteousness. The righteousness of Christ. Well, evidently, when Adam and Eve were made, they were clothed with that righteousness. When Eve came to Adam, he said, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. He didn't say anything about blood. I don't know. Were they must have been spirit drive because they walked in the presence of God. They could step in and out of his presence, in and out of another dimension. But when Adam fell, when they fell, they knew they were naked. They had to cover themselves. When we're raised, when Christ was raised, his grave clothes were in the tomb. He was swathed with light again. He was clothed with something from within. That's what our resurrection bodies will be like. Incorruptible, it says. No more disease. No more pain. No more degeneration. No amputations. No decaying, wearing out mortal frames. Incorruptible. Immortal will be raised in power and in glory. Physical but not physical. The same but not the same. Able to see one another and fellowship with one another and hear and touch. Able to enjoy the reunion that we'll have with our loved ones that have passed on. Raised together. And beyond that, he says, let me show you a mystery. We're not all going to die. Christ is going to come and interrupt this process at some point. In fact, Jesus said if he wouldn't come, when he did come, there would be no flesh left alive on the planet. That's going to get so bad, man's going to, you know, has the potential to bring himself to extinction. But for you and I as the believer, it says he's going to come. The voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God. The last trump, Paul says here. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. We used to have that on our nursery back here. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in an atomos, smallest measurable increment in that day. The twinkling of eye, the speed of light. We are all going to be changed. And this corruption is going to put on incorruption. This mortal is going to put on immortality. And then will be brought to pass the saying, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us victory through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, because we have this hope, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord, because we know what is ahead of us. And any man who has this hope purifies himself even as he pure. We know that when we see him, we will see him as he is, because we will be like him. It tells us we're going to step into that dimension and be able to see him as he is. But all will be raised The scripture is clear about that. The lost will be raised and the saved will be raised. There's a resurrection to life and a resurrection to death, to shame and to contempt. Every human being in this room will experience resurrection. Because you, the real you, you are immaterial. You're software. You know that when you wear out your computer, and I never will because I don't have one, but when you wear out your computer, your laptop just gets worn out. You've been banging on it too long and hitting it when you're mad at it and all the other things, you know, and then you get a new computer. And it's been a number of years, so they're way better, they're way faster, and you get that old software, that's you, and you put it into that new computer, and it's faster. And all of a sudden, things that weren't in color before are in color now. You never realized they were in color. And it has potential. You didn't realize that because that's what you and I are going to do. We're going to get an upgrade. Same software, new hardware. And we're going to realize what eyes are for. We thought we knew what eyes are for. Not until we see what was in front of us in glory, then we're going to realize the purpose of seeing. Not until we hear the sounds of heaven will we ever realize what the purpose of hearing really is. Not until we smell what's there will we ever realize the purpose of smelling and what it's really all about. Not until we see the colors and the glory of heaven will we ever understand what color is about. It is there that we will be home, and every fiber of our being will agree with every single thing that surrounds us. We will be home. For the believer who believes that Christ died and rose again, who's accepted Christ as their Savior, who has been born again by the Spirit of God. Jesus, the second Adam, the life-giving Spirit. Just as Adam passed down genes and chromosomes to our physical frame, when we accept Christ as our Savior, He interjects by His Holy Spirit eternal life back into our spiritual man, and we are born again. He is a life-giving Spirit. But everyone in this room will be raised. I don't believe in Jesus. I don't believe. It doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. Those who have rejected Christ, who refuse His love and His forgiveness, which never makes any sense, does it? They will also be raised unto damnation, the Bible says, to outer darkness, to the lake of fire. You, who you really are, is living inside of this tent, this spacesuit. That part of you is immaterial, it's eternal. While you're in this world, you can make things right with God. You know the t-shirt that says, born once, die twice. You're only born physically. That means you're going to die physically and then die eternally, die spiritually. Or it says, born twice, die once. Like He said to Nicodemus, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You may be the most spiritual man on the planet, but unless you are born again by the Spirit of God, you will never see the kingdom. And I don't care how religious you are.